Well, good morning. Good to be here. I am going away for a few days, but it's work, so I can't say I'm chilling out in Scarborough, can I? Anyway, it's like this. Last week I was talking about being part of, or we are made up of three parts. We've made up our spirit, and we are made up of our minds, our souls, and we've also got a body. And every one of us knows what our body looks like from the outside. And we are on the inside, looking out, as it were, but our spirit is something that when we become born again, our spirit is what comes alive inside of us. Our spirit just, in a sense, it comes alive towards God. And the verse that we dwelt on was 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it says this. Paul writing to the church there, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I also read out that from Ephesians 1:13, "And you also being included with Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him by the Holy Spirit of promise." So our spirit that's inside of is sealed by the Holy Spirit, and it's kept. Now the word "sealed" there is an old-fashioned term where, and I don't mean to be stereotypical, but it's usually when ladies used to make jams and fruit, and they would cook the stuff and they put it in a jar, and they would put a seal on it, cap it, seal it, to keep it fresh, to stop any contaminants getting out. The Holy Spirit seals your spirit, and no contamination can get in that. It's 100%, it's before God. So when we talk about verse in the Bible that talk that you are blameless before God, you think, well, I'm not blameless, I know what I've done. But our spirit before God is blameless because it's sealed. It can't be infected. It can't be, anything can't happen to that. It's sealed, it's set apart. When it talks about we're seated with Christ, well, I'm here. And Jesus is there, wherever there is. But the Bible says we're seated because there's a connection between the Holy Spirit and our spirit, and we're connected. And then when we talk often about being in Christ, it's about being in Christ, our spirit's in Christ. The problem often is that we look at ourselves on the outside, and we look at who we are on the outside, and God talks to us of who we are on the inside. And sometimes you wonder if God's talking to the right person. If you're reading the Bible, there's a story about Gideon, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and goes, you know, "Greetings, you mighty man of God, or you great warrior." And he like looks and goes, "Who, me?" Because God saw what he was on the inside, but Gideon saw what he was on the outside. And often we listen too much to what we think of ourselves on the outside and what people say we are on the outside and what we are in our minds, instead of listening to what God says to us. Our mind is a very powerful thing. There's a verse I'm going to read now. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse that you're probably very familiar with. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Ruth spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, mentioned it, that when you become a Christian, the outside doesn't change. Your spirit is born again. It's the new creation. The only time that there's ever been a new creation was Adam, when it comes to mankind. Adam was the new creation. Actually, he formed Adam out of the dirt, and then he formed Eve out of Adam. But when he says it to us, that you become a new creation, it's something new, it's something fresh. There's been nothing in eternity ever like what we are in Christ. Even before the cross, the prophets, the angels of, you know, that were around in those days, the prophets of old, couldn't comprehend what we would have. You see, King David, a man after God's own heart, only understood the terms of the Spirit coming upon him at times and then leaving him. We're a new breed of people, a new creation, where the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells with us in our spirit. And that's never been known before. When Paul says, I tell you a mystery, it wasn't a secret, it was just something that was being revealed, that we are the church, the body of Christ, and that one day we'll be with him. There's so much in this, and I don't want to complicate it because we've got some kids in here. Well, actually, it's got nothing to do with kids. It's just that I'm not that smart. So I need to put it in a case where kids can understand it so at least I can speak it. We are new creations. We are new and fresh. But often we look at ourselves in the old terms. There's a phrase that's often used around churches, and I've heard it many times, is the idea that we're only sinners saved by grace. That's what we are, sinners saved by grace. Do you know there's no New Testament principle for that as a believer in God? You were a sinner. You are saved by grace. But the Bible calls you saints. He says to the saints, to the anointed ones, to the ones set apart, to the saints. Jesus never comes to you saying, you are a sinner saved by grace. Yes, you might sin, but he's not calling you a sinner. Because when you become a new creation, our nature, the who we are on the inside changes. Our spirit comes alive. The problem is that we've got a battle going on. You all know we're in a battle, don't you? There is a devil on one side, and often he's not the one that's battling with us. Most of the time it's ourself, our own body, our flesh, our own thinking. Sometimes a demon might come and whisper something in our ears, or he might whisper to somebody else and they might tell us. But we're in a battle. A battle constantly to do good or bad. A constant battle between, if you're into that, the dark side and the light side. And what do you want to be in? I did see a sketch years ago on a program, and there were some German soldiers there going, having a chat. And one of them says to us, do you think we're on the bad side? And the other guy said, why do you say that? He goes, well, we're dressed in black and we've got skulls on us. Are we on the evil side? And it made me smile, because often the dark side, the bad side, has all these stuff of death and things like that. And yet people are drawn towards it, knowing that eventually it will lead to death. And we talk about the light side, being a place of God. And actually, in Jesus, we are in the light. We are children of the light. We walk in the light. We don't walk around in darkness anymore. But we've got a battle, and the battle's in our mind. Don't think you're going mental or schizophrenic when sometimes you're arguing things out in your own mind. You know, if you take it to excess, it can become a problem. But we are saints of God, and we have got this battle going on in our mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 in the NIV says this: for though we lived in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. Guys, when we're born, we're a blank piece of paper. But over years of as we grow up and as people put input into our lives, as we discover things and we make our minds up about things, we develop strongholds in our minds. We develop ways of thinking. We develop patterns in our brain. Racism is not something that people are born with. It's something that's taught them from generations. You know, sexism isn't something that people are born with. It's something that's taught. Discrimination is not something that people are born with. They learn to think that way due to circumstances. Some people have a poverty mentality. Some people have a higher than you mentality. Some people, it's all the different ways of thinking. I remember years ago, Joe was invited to a do part of her work, and we went along, and you had to wear a tuxedo. Now, I'd never worn a tuxedo, and the only people that wore tuxedos were posh people that I didn't want to do with, because they were snobs. Because I grew up on a council estate, and anybody else who didn't grow up, I mean, if you grew up on a private estate, that were doing all right. But if you wore a tuxedo, you were posh. And I thought, I don't want anything, because I had this stronghold in my mind that people who wore that clothes were posh people, and posh people didn't like poor people. And I was a poor person because I had a poverty mentality because of where I come from. My dad were poor, my mum were poor, my granddad wasn't, he was rich, but he drunk all the profits he made on everything. So we ended up poor. So we went to this do, and I'm arguing it out with you. I don't want to do this thing, tuxedo. Yeah, I look like James Bond. I had hair in those days. I look pretty cool, but I still don't. But I went to this room full of people in tuxedos, and they were normal. They were hurting people. They might have had a couple more zeros on the end of their bank account than I did, but they were people. And suddenly a stronghold that had been in my mind from my youth got demolished because I met people that were hurting people that Jesus wanted me to reach out to in a tuxedo. And I thought, is this my thinking? I don't know about you, but You know, you can grow up in a certain pattern and you think that's the only way people are. But let me face it, none of us are quite normal, whatever normal is. We're all quirky. But the problem is that we form strongholds in our minds. And the Bible says that the Word of God is powerful enough to demolish strongholds. The Word of God demolishes. And I'm telling you, most people have got strongholds. The sad thing is that when you become a Christian, a lot of your strongholds get demolished at that point. They get crushed and Jesus tears them down. But then as believers, we start to develop strongholds in our mind, ways of thinking. We start looking at, well, we look at experience and what we see and what we hear, what we can touch and taste and smell. Instead of looking at the Word of God, we look at our natural realm around us instead of going, God, what are you saying? What do you want in this matter? And we get tied up. If we can't see it, we can't believe it. Well, I don't know about it, but if that's true, the argument is, well, you can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. Somebody once told me recently, if I can't see it, I don't believe that it's there. I said, have you ever seen your brain? They said, no. I said, I doubt it's there as well, with that sort of comment. Well, none of us have ever seen our brains. We can't take it out and have a good look. So it's not always the case. But we form patterns, and it's usually wrong patterns. Why is it kids never learn good things? We've got to teach them it systematically. Why does the natural stuff always seem to be the wrong stuff? But even as Christians, we drift into things that are not God's plan for our life. We allow our senses to dictate things instead of saying, the Word of God must tell us things. But we have wrong thoughts. I heard this a while ago. Somebody called it this stinking thinking. Because our thinking is stinking. Because we're allowing our thinking to dictate. You see, we're in a battle. On the one side, I said this last week, on the one side is our spirit. On the other side is our body and our minds in the middle. The only problem is that they are not the two influences on our body, on our mind, should I say, on our soul. We have got the devil whispering in our ears. We've got friends telling us things. We've got our own minds telling us things. You know, if you don't believe you can't do something, guess what? You probably won't do it. I've done the Three Peaks. I won't say 100 times now, but I must be pushing that way now. And whenever I've done it with a group of people, you go over the first hill and people are laughing and joking. You're getting wet, you're getting mucky, it's grey. And then you stop at dinner time, they have the sandwiches and they're looking at the second one, it's there, it's looming. And they set off and it's okay. But then they're going up the second one, you know, and it's getting a drag. It's getting to afternoon, it's tiring. And I'm marching them up there saying, we've got to run, come on, keep going. And we're marching, we'll get to the top, we take a breather. And when we're at top, I know at that point, at the top of the second one, whether somebody's going to finish the Three Peaks or not. Because they turn around and they see Ingleborough and the sun's usually behind it and it's black and it looks big. And they start going, I'm not sure. And as soon as that thought enters their head, I'm thinking, they are not going to do it. So I'm saying, yes, you can, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And then as we go down the second hill, the third one's just getting bigger and blacker because the sun's going down behind it and it's getting bigger and bigger and they're going, no, I can't do that. Because they've lost the battle in the mind. Because I know if somebody can do two of the Three Peaks, they can finish the third one physically. But the battle's in the mind now, unless they hurt themselves, of course. And one day I took a group of people and one guy was going, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just know I can't do it. So I said, mate, I'm not waiting here for you to stop crying. So I said, let's go to the bottom of the third one. And if you don't like it, come back. So I took him right to the bottom and he always, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't think I could. Because he built something in his mind that he could not do it. So when we got to the bottom of the steep bit on the third hill, he sat having a break. So I picked his rucksack up, put it on my back with my rucksack, and I climbed the hill. And I shouted down, if you want your sandwiches, your car keys or whatever, you're going to have to catch me. And I set off going up, it nearly killed me. And he comes storming up after me because he wanted his sandwiches and he wanted this. And I got onto the shoulder and there's only a little climb then and he caught me. And at that point, I goes, well, would you look at that? You can carry your bag now. And we're going to continue. He went up to the top. He finished it. Because we always lose the battle in our mind first. In everything we do. When you sin, you don't sin, it just don't pop out of you. You've lost the battle in your mind first. whatever's happening, you lose the battle in your mind, you will lose the battle outside. See, it's no point complaining about the circumstances around you. You need to change your thinking on it. And often it's because of strongholds that are in our lives. What we think is what we'll do. If you've been told you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good, you're going to think you're no good. But when they say to you, you're no good, start thinking, I don't care what you think anymore. Paul says, in me there is no good thing. And people quote that at me, and I go, yes, but in brackets, he says, that is in the flesh, in the body. Because in him was the Holy Spirit dwelling, which is a good thing. So in Paul was a good thing, that's Romans 7. But outside him, no good thing, because on the outside was sin, on the inside though was the Holy Spirit dwelling. You see, the mind is a powerful thing. And if this is how I see things. If you choose or decide you're going to do something, you'll do it. Whatever. And I'm not talking about, I think I'll do it. No, if you're determined to do it, you'll do it. People say, I can't. I've already made up my mind, they're not going to. Because when you decide you're going to, you will. You see, ask yourself this. When somebody poses a question to you, shall we do this? Is the first thing that comes out of your mouth a reason why you can't? Or the answer is, yes, let's do it. But there's going to be a problem. See, when someone says, you know, I fancy going abroad, and someone else says to them, yeah, let's do that, often they'll go abroad. But if someone says, let's go abroad, and they go, yeah, well, I'm not sure. They don't really want to. It's an excuse. I've read this verse here. Yes, we've got strongholds. You see, strongholds, we want things to change in our life. And guys, I want things to change in my life, and I believe you want things to change in your life. The only problem is that things sometimes don't change, so we've got to ask ourselves why. Because if we want things to change, the first thing we must change is our thinking about the subject that we need changing. And then when we start changing our thinking about it, then our minds are being renewed, and that our minds are being renewed, how? By the Word of God. So we allow the Word of God to change and renew our minds, which changes our thinking, which then changes our circumstances. I said this last week, and I think it's amazing. Very profound, but so simple. I've realized that all my problems are my problems. And as long as I blame the government, blame Phil, blame whoever else, my wife, blame the kids, blame the rabbit, whoever else I blame for my problems, I can't do a thing about them. If I take responsibility for my problem, it means I've got something to do about it. You get that? You see, it doesn't matter how much I blame the government for something, I'm not going to change the government. But I can change my thinking about the problem, which in turn generally changes the problem. The problem might actually be the same, but my thinking's changed, so it's not really a big issue anymore. You see, I can blame the government for X, Y, and Z, but I'm not going to change. I can blame you for stuff, but I can't really change you. So I've got to look at me and think, hang on a minute, is this my problem? Well, sometimes it isn't, but I'll still take responsibility of it because it's affecting me. And I change my thinking about it, and then that way, it almost changes the circumstance. If something annoys you, I'm not being funny, but one thing that annoys me is vegetarians. But then I changed my thinking about it because I realise that if they're not eating meat, it means there's more meat for me to eat. So I don't mind vegetarians anymore. So if you're a veggie, that's great. You carry on being a veggie. You eat all the salad you want. I'll eat all the meat. And we're both happy. I changed my thinking. I'm still struggling with French people, so sorry about that. You know what I mean? I just don't know where that comes from. You know, maybe it's generational. No, I've been to France a few times. But we just work things through. So we need to expect someone to change on the outside. We've got to change our mind on the inside. And the only way we change our mind on the inside is to renew our mind through the Word of God. The battle is always in the mind. See, Jesus and the Bible speaks to us. It comes into our spirit. The Word of God speaks to us, and it's alive, and it's active. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But on the other side of it, the devil's whispering to us, and our flesh is screaming at us, and other people are telling us what they think, and even our own thinking is telling us what to do, and you're in a battle. So no wonder some people are very confused. Guys, if you're confused about something that's usually not of God, God has said that in Timothy, he said, I've not given you a spirit of fear. The word there, fear, is not just being petrified about something. It's fear as in an attitude of fear. Oh, I wonder, I'm worried, I'm stressed about this, and the anxiety of all that issues start coming on you. I've not given you that, but I have given you a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind in the King James Version. Or in the NIV, he said, I've given you self-discipline. You see, discipline is not a nice word. People don't want discipline. But the only way we can renew our mind is to be disciplined readers of the Word of God. And being disciplined will change your life. It's easy to be lazy, but it's hard to be disciplined. Every good soldier is a disciplined person. People who are just, if they're not disciplined, they're usually unhealthy and there's all these other things going on it, but we need to be disciplined in our lives. So we need a spirit, Jesus has given us a spirit of self-discipline. In Proverbs 23:7, he says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the King James Version. If you think you're no good, it doesn't matter what I say, you're always going to think you're no good. If your parents told you that, and every time you say something, you hear your mum's voice. Sometimes I say something to my kids, and I wonder, when did I become my dad? Because I hear the echoes of him, you know what I mean, just coming down. I think, when did that happen? But sometimes we think we're of no value because of what's been spoken, and we start believing we're of no value. I've got a £5 note here. Kids, who would like a £5 note? Well, these two, Ethan looked like a shot then. This is a £5 note. It's worth £5. But if I screw it up, what's it worth now? £5. What about? Yeah. What's it worth now? £5. I wonder what it's worth. But if I stamp on it, rub it into the ground, if I took it outside and put it in the mud or dog muck, what's it worth? This is somewhat profound, guys. To God, you are valuable. And if you've been trod on, spat on, trampled down on the ground, to Jesus, you are still valuable. And your value is not put on what other people think. Your value is put on what God thinks about you. And this is how much God thinks about you, that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross. That's how valuable you are. This £5 note is a £5 note because it's worth £5 regardless. It's probably been paid for drugs. It's probably been, might have been, it's a new one, so it might not have been. But it's still bad, no matter what happens to it. If I rip it, it's still worth £5. If it's crushed, it's still worth £5. You, no matter what's happened, even if you're torn and broken, to God, you are still valuable. Stop listening to what other people think about you and start thinking about what God thinks. Don't even listen to what you think about yourself. What about this? This is a £10 note. And the same, but this one's one of the old ones. It's going out of date. If I hold on to this for a year, it's out of date. But it's still worth £10. So some of you old biddies, I'll put it back in that terms, you feel like you're coming out of date. You're still valuable. If I rip this, it's still worth £10. If I tread on this and crush it, it's still worth £10. And in a few months' time, it's still worth £10, even though we've got the new ones. Because it's the value. It's because of who's on it, which is a queen on this one. Never mind the back. There's a queen. And she says that's worth £10. And even when they go out of date, you can still take it to the bank and get a brand new, fresh £10. Think about that, some of you people. You need to go trade in that old attitude and get a brand new attitude that's in Jesus. That's of value. So stop thinking of yourself of what other people think. Stop thinking of yourself of what even you think of yourself. Let's tear down those strongholds that have been built in your life because you have value for God. So a stronghold can take years to be built. And sometimes we come to the front of a church and expect someone to do a quick shabba-dabba-doo over us, and a complete stronghold comes down. Now, sometimes that might happen, but usually it comes down like it went up brick by brick. Brick by brick. The reason why some people don't have friends isn't because they're not very friendly, it's because they've got strongholds in their mind which resist people and pushes people away. Another reason why some people are just, I won't say ugly because that's on the outside, but if they're just ugly on the inside, it's because the strongholds might have been hurt. So whenever anybody comes near them, they'd rather poke them away instead of hurting, getting hurt again. We need to demolish strongholds. That verse in 2 Corinthians 10, I'll continue. It says, back to the beginning of it, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power This is talking about the weapon is the word of God, divine power to demolish strongholds that are in our minds. And it says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So when stinking thinking comes along and says, you're no good, you start grabbing that thought and say, the word of God says I'm of great value. You'll never achieve anything. No, God's got a plan for my life according to the word of God. When any stinking thinking starts coming your way, you start getting all the word of God and you challenge what you think about yourself. You challenge it and you bring it into obedience. He said you take every thought captive. A captive is somebody that's chained up. You lock it up, you shove it in a cell, you lock the door, and you leave it there, and you line it with the word of God. I'm pointing down here because this is my Bible. You line it up with the word of God, and you say, I'm going to stand on that and not what I think. And the more we stand on the word of God, the less battle occurs in our mind. We start seeing things from God's perspective, allowing our spirit to take control of our lives instead of our emotions and our senses. A verse that we mentioned a few weeks ago is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good and pleasing and perfect will. We renew our mind through the word of God. You're going to get squeezed into a pattern, guys, regardless. Somebody's going to try and squeeze you into a mold. They always do. Even in churches, it happens. Even in ministry, it happens. But you've got to decide what mold you get squeezed into. Do you want to get squeezed into God's mold or into what the world says about things? And there's very much, if I started mentioning molds that Christians are in, I would probably end up upsetting most people. That's in this room. Because we listen more to what experts say than what the Word of God says. Now, I'm not against experts. And in fact, if we didn't have some experts, we'd all be in trouble. If you didn't have an expert builder building out there, we might have some right crooked walls. Because the only way that Phil gets his spirit level bubble to stay in the middle is when he's frozen it in the freezer. It never moves thereafter, so it's all right. Sorry, Phil. It's good. It's my right-hand man when it comes to building stuff in there. But if you didn't have an expert builder, we'd have problems. If we didn't have people who knew what they did in certain areas, we'd have problems. But sometimes we listen too much to the expert. Paul had this problem. He was on a boat and he says, let's not go, stay. But the expert, the captain, says, we're going. Paul says, do not go. This will end in disaster. Sounds like a pastor, doesn't it? When you're saying, I want to do something, pastor goes, don't do it. It's going to end up a mess. And you're going, but I know from the expert. And the pastor says, but I know from the spirit. There's a t-shirt that I wanted, but I got bottled to buy it. It says, when everything else fails, do what the pastor told you to do first. If any pastor tells you anything that's not of the word of God, you challenge it. Okay, it's got to be lined up the word of God. So Paul says, don't go. The expert says, we're going. And it ended up in a shipwreck. The Holy Spirit says to him, it's not good to go. And he listens. So if we want things to change on the outside, we must change our thinking. And the only way we change our thinking is through the renewing of our mind through the word of God. In Romans 7, it says this, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Have you ever been there? You want to do something good? You desperately want to do something good, but you mess it up. Paul had the same problem. We're back here. He said, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. You've got a choice to make. For in my inner beings, inside of Paul and inside us, I delight in God's law or God's word. I delight in it. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that is in a work in me. He's talking about his body, his flesh is warring against his spirit and his mind, and it's clashing. And every time he wants to do good, just this evilness rises up. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body and that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's interesting when he says, if this war going on, he says, who will deliver me? Whom? Who will? Jesus did. He died on the cross to deliver us from that torment, that battle that's in our mind. It's already, our spirit's already been delivered from it. It's sealed. But our body's still living in this stinking thinking world, but our mind, our soul is in the battlefield. And if we get more of the Spirit of God and the Word of God into our lives, it will cut down on the mentalness. And well, actually what it does, it gives you peace. It gives you a peace in your heart that surpasses all understanding. Who will rescue us from this body? It's Jesus did. So the verse that I mentioned right at the beginning, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That old way of thinking, the old things, it said, have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. In our spirit, we are fresh. We are new. We've got a connection with God. In our spirit, we know all things in Christ. Because Christ knows all. He can whisper things in our ears. He can open our eyes up to amazing things. He can open doors for us. But in our body, we're listening too much to what other people think and other people say. We're too interested in trying to blame other people instead of taking response. It's about trying to survive. But our spirit doesn't want to survive. In fact, our spirit, if we're truly honest, our spirit wants to put the body down so the spirit can be released and stay with Jesus. You know, to me, it's to live is Christ, but to die is gain, says Paul. But our mind is a battlefield. And every one of us, the battle's on for you. Your young people, the battle's on for you. Because if it can get you at a young age, it sets you on a path that makes it harder to come up. Some of you older people, that's anybody over 45, you older people, you need to change some of your stinking thinking and start listening to the Word of God. You need to start thinking about what God says. You're still of great value to God. And stop thinking like an old person. You know, the Bible says that when we wait on the Lord, we will renew our strength. We will renew our strength. But we still have a mentality of somebody, not a wisdom mentality, an obedience. I shouldn't say that, should I? I know if old people seem to just be dithery, slow, and that's it. God's not created us to fade out at the end, to be slow and dithery. He's caused us to be sharp, passionate for Jesus, great parents in God. I'm talking about spiritually to everybody. He's not caused us just to fade out just because our season's over. He's got great things for us. He's got amazing things for us. I'm finding I'm getting stronger in God year by year and more aware of things, and the passion's growing, the fire's still burning. But some of us fade out because of generations and years of drip, drip, drip into our life. If you ever look at stalactites and stalagmites, one goes up, one comes down. They don't happen overnight. It takes time. But once they're established, it's going to take a jackhammer to get rid of it. Some of us have got things that are in our thinking that is not in line with the Word. And do you know how I know? Because when I talk to you, your head nods, but your eyes are going, no chance. Your demeanor, your outward signs are going, no chance. Because the doctor says, or this guy said. I mean, I've heard of people even say, and this preacher says. And it's become a stronghold in the mind. I said earlier, we are not sinners saved by grace. And some of you reacted. Because it's so ingrained in us that we're only sinners saved by grace. But yet the Word of God doesn't say that. That's as mental as saying Mary rode on a donkey in the Christmas story and there were three wise men. It didn't happen. But we're so ingrained. It's called religion. And religion is a stronghold. So we need to let the Holy Spirit speak to us through our spirit. We need to let the Word of God speak to us into our hearts. We need to renew our minds and our thinking. And then that will change our perspective of the problem. It might not change the problem, but if you're the problem, it'll change you. And if you're causing the problem, that'll help somebody else. And if somebody else is a problem, at least God can change your perspective on them and give you a bit of love and grace that you might be able to just be wise in those situations. So I've tried to take something that's really complicated, simple it down to the lowest factor, and we just said we're just going to just wait on God and just see what God says. Because sometimes our thinking, we need to just trust in God. And we're all in battle. Guys, I'm not pointing fingers and saying, I have a right. I have not. I am so far away from arriving, but I've set off. That's all I can say. At least I've set off. I've decided to get off the floor, stop sucking my thumb and blaming everybody and going, I'm just going to go. And maybe as I go up this path of life, I might come to you because you're already further along on the way. But together we can go on. And there's times I'm going to tell you, suck it up, let's move on. Like my friend going up the Three Peaks. And if I've got to grab your ear or your short hairs at back or whatever, and come on, let's do it together. Let's move forward. Because the devil, if he can't get you to backslide away from God, and that's not even really a biblical term, but if he can't get you to turn your back on God, then what he can do is get you to stop moving forward and just become mediocre. God didn't save any of you guys to be mediocre. He saved you to be awesome and amazing. And that's what you are to him. You look in the mirror and go, really? And God's are going, really? Because you're still looking on the outside. And God goes, to me, you are awesome. To me, you are amazing. On the outside, you've still got some stinking thinking. But inside, you are so awesome. So, who are you going to listen to? Which voices are you going to take heed to? Are you going to allow your senses to dictate how you feel? Or are you going to let your mind tell your body? Come on, these senses and these emotions are good, but let's not be controlled by them. Let's move on. If you need to shed tears, but okay, let's go on. You know, you laugh, let's laugh, but let's go on. Let's keep moving. Who are you going to listen to?